It's showtime, folks. Welcome in Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Here on this Thursday, we're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Big Joe is here. I'm here. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, back at the studio. What's up, JoJo?
Oh, man, it's a beautiful, wonderful, fantastic day. Get up. Be thankful for three things in your life. Get your mind flowing in a positive way. And the rest is beautiful after that, man. Every day.
Your radio announcer voice kind of came out there like,
you're really
positive.
Yeah, you're in a positive day today.
Weather 2.5.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Did you ever see that Jimmy Fallon skit when he did that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was fantastic.
Well, you're fantastic.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, buddy.
But, yeah, we are at Kitchen Notes here at the Omni Nashville Hotel, our home away from home. Every Thursday, we always enjoy coming here, and Todd Rodemiller, buddy, just stopped by and said hello, so always good to see him. He's doing a fantastic job here at Kitchen Notes, but we'll be leaving here in a couple hours and headed to Chicago with the Nashville Predators, so looking forward to that.
I'm excited. So that, out of the gate, I want to throw our question out there. We did this a year ago, and I'm going to ask again. It's very simple. Aisle seat, window seat. Which do you prefer when you fly? Aisle seat, and I need to hear from our great listeners today, 615-737-1025. Aisle seat, window seat. Chase McCabe, what say you?
So it used to be window. Even as big as I am, I would just crawl to the window. But I'm finally kind of shifting to the aisle. So
was there some certain moment that made you do that?
No, I just realized that I'm – too freaking tall to be crawling over people to get to the window seat. Like, it's like I just have to let that dream go.
Okay. So, all right.
Unless it's the one like on Southwest where I call it the tall man seat that doesn't have the seat in front of it, then I'll go to window.
Okay. I'm forever the window guy. I can't.
Yeah, I mean, looking out and all that stuff.
Yeah. And then obviously when I do the aisle seat and I want to look out, I have the passenger in the window seat who pulls the shade down.
Yeah.
And you can't see anything.
I usually have them kicked off, like ahead of time.
You should.
I say, look, you're going to have to go.
So
and they get really confused, and then they start crying.
Well, we got our seat assignments, and I get the window today.
You do.
I'm really excited about
this. You
do.
This. I'm trying to get you moved next to Willie.
So they're behind us.
Yeah, I know. But I think the sports revolution needs a reunion.
And I think and Chris Mason's behind you.
Yeah.
And you know, Chris Mason's one of my all-time favorite athletes. I might just go sit in his lap and have story time.
We'll see how that goes.
Once we get to a decent altitude, I'll just go do that. But I'm just curious what people want because you shifted, you know, you were window. And
I prefer a window.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, logistically, it's like, eh.
Could you imagine flying on those 747s that have, like, your own pod?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Would that not be just perfect?
Just give me a bed and just sleep.
The whole time, man.
Yeah,
that's all that matters.
That'd be awesome. See, I've never done an international flight. So, like across the ocean and everything. So I know those are bigger, and you have like a little more room
because
you want to stretch out and everything. So I've never done that, but yeah, it'd be cool.
You have a passport, right?
I do.
I do not have a passport. Yeah.
I got my passport when I was traveling with the Preds for the playoffs, and they had to go to Winnipeg.
Oh, wow! So recently?
Yeah, I mean it's been
6-7 years.
Yeah, I guess so. I'll probably need to renew it here in about 3 years.
God, that was 2018, that Winnipeg series.
Yeah.
Good Lord, time flies. I don't have a I got to get a passport because I'm doing a European tour later this fall.
That's cool.
With,
is that your band?
Yeah. Nice. We're opening for Def Leppard and Oasis.
Nice.
So thank you.
That'd be
thank
good.
You.
Is Pogue going to be able to play?
He is.
Okay, good.
He is. But good. We're sitting him by cruise liner.
Yeah.
So, Queen Mary.
I know. He doesn't like to fly.
He doesn't.
Well, we're live at Omni Nashville Hotel. We got a great show planned. We'll get to answers to the question of the day coming up in a few minutes. But a lot of different things we're going to hit today. WWE Monday Night Raw coming to Nashville at Bridgestone Arena this Monday. One of the performers you will see is Lyra Valkyria. She is the Women's Intercontinental Champion. She'll join us at 9:45. So looking forward to that. Greg Wyshynski from ESPN at 10 o'clock. That is going to be his new time every Thursday. And then we're going to check in with old Jared Stillman at 10:30. He's at Radio Row. He's been very busy this week, had a lot of great conversations. We'll kind of see what the word is down there in New Orleans with Stilly, as they call him on the morning show.
What is the word down there? We're going to find out, right?
I don't know. We're going to find out. New Orleans, hey, look, that's a place that if you and I were down there, they'd have to watch out.
Did you have you been to Radio Row? I've never have.
No.
Okay.
That's actually the one thing I don't think I've done in my career.
Well, we've done SEC Media Days, right?
We've done SEC Media Days.
You know, and they come around. I'll never forget. We years ago we were down there, and a lady they come around Radio Row, and a lady comes up and says, "Hey, I've got a cook here, a lady, and that she'd like to talk about some sweet desserts that you can bake in your kitchen." And it was just and then here's the worst part. The lady that's pitching is right there, and the cook, the lady, is next to her. So what do you say?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, sure.
Well, here's what's funny. So I get all these – I'm getting all these emails of, like, people wanting to come on. Hey, we're at Radio Row. And I've been doing what any good American would do. I've been passing them off to Jared so I don't have to deal with it because he's the one that's there.
Yeah, that's great. And,
which he, in turn, is ignoring some of these. Oh, and then, you know, I'm getting follow-ups. But it's like – it's kind of – how do some of these people get this access? Like, it's the Super Bowl.
Right.
And you're pitching a book about – not about sports. Like, if it was about sports, okay. But, yep. Like, I just – it'd be like you going on a book tour. Like, hey, I'm going to go Radio Row. Actually, we should set that up next year.
Just go down there?
And just have you do – I'll be your publicist.
Yeah.
That's how we go. I'll be your publicist, and you go, and we'll get you on all these radio stations to talk about your books.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and I'll be right there next to you, and then I'll just go ahead and sit down. I'm like, let's do this. But I was just like, they come by, and you're like, what are you going to do? I mean, you just talk to them. It's so weird to say no to them when they're right there in front of you. And always, that's what I tell people: when you want something, don't text, don't email. Face to face, because people will be like,
"Because
oh,
they can't tell you no."
You're here. Am I just going
to
have a seat?
I've been in that situation before, and like the first time I went to one, you know, you're getting the lecture of like, now you know you got to stick to the content and all that stuff, and it's like some guy wants to talk about a book that doesn't matter.
Right. I told you I did a thing with Barry Sanders when I was at Channel 2, a satellite interview from Radio Row, and he was pitching Pizza Hut and MasterCard, and he got him mixed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So our thing was I was like, so tell me about MasterCard. He's like, well, at Pizza Hut, you can get this deal during Super Bowl Sunday. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? And then it was over with. They call back and say, hey, can we do this again? It was live. Yeah. He said, can we do this again? He messed up the script. I'm like, we've moved on. What do you mean? You can't tape it again? I'm like, it's all live.
Yeah.
So they get all the confusion there, but it was absolutely an awful interview with Barry Sanders.
Oh, that's hilarious, actually. 615-737, our question of the day. Adam in Portland literally called in right as you asked this. So I'll let him. I mean, Adam, do you work? I'll let you lead this off. What's your answer?
It's crappy to say, do you work? Because I listen to you guys like you're my radio. You know what I'm saying? Like
I know. Like you listen all the time, and we appreciate it.
I'm 4 hours from the house and listening to you on the app, dude. No, look. So this is the deal. I'm 38. I've never flown before, and I flew for the first time like 2 weeks ago. And I've had this debilitating fear my whole life, like of just being up there. And so my wife's like, yeah, do the window seat. And you'll enjoy it. I did not enjoy that, not one bit. And it started kind of making me feel sick. So I got a Xanax on the way back. I sat in the aisle, and I was way better. So I guess I'm an aisle guy with a Xanax to be able to get through flight. Because it wasn't bad, but I had to have that combo.
So okay. Let me ask you this. I'm sorry, Chase. Let me ask you this. I am deathly afraid of heights. I am deathly afraid of heights, but I don't mind flying. Do you have that same fear or no?
Not so, like, my job, man, I'm an insurance adjuster, so I'm on roofs all day, every day. And I don't have one issue with that. But mine is, like, if I don't like being somewhere and somebody tells me I can't get down. So, like, being up there and knowing that I can't get down or I can't jump out, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got total control over me, that's my fear.
Okay. Is that just – so when you say that you flew for the first time 2 weeks ago at 38 years old – was some of that just because of like you didn't need to, or was it all because you just had that fear?
The debilitating fear of that right there, dude. And I was like, you know, my wife, look, check it out. Look, my wife booked the tickets on the first, and I did not sleep, I promise you, more than like 2 hours until I flew on like the 28th of January. So, dude, I'm telling you, it was, the 22nd of January. So, like 3 whole weeks of not sleeping. So, it was bad. But once I got up there, it was all right. But the Xanax and the aisle seat is the way to go for me, dude.
Nice.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate the call. This raises a whole, like, different conversation because I've never had a fear of flying. Like, you know, I've
same.
But I think the first time I was on an airplane, I was probably 6 months old. And then, like, the first time I remember, I was probably, like, 4. And so I've just been flying my whole life. And so it's just I'm used to it.
Jet Setter McCabe.
Yeah, something like that. But my mom, I've told you, my mom's best friend lives in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So that was, you know, we went there.
Right.
And so it's never really been an issue for me. So I'm wondering, is that the trick to kind of avoid the fear of flying? Like, your parents need to take you when you're really young and you're just kind of used to it?
I don't know. I mean, that could be a possibility. I just think you have to go and try to see, all right, am I scared or am I not? But, you know, a lot of that is current times. You know, yeah. What happened last week, we absolutely hate that. And that's just so unfortunate. But air travel, for the most part, right, it's safe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's extremely safe. So I've never once been frightened. But that's me. But I get it, man. I mean, people don't want – John Madden, that's how the Madden Cruiser became.
Yeah, he did not like to fly.
Did not like to fly. So, you know, it's – whether you like to or not, it's no big deal. But if you don't like to fly, then don't fly.
Will you be watching the movie Airplane on the way to Chicago?
No. I like to read on a plane. I don't – okay. I'm a reader, man. It's a
just
time
to – don't talk to me the whole time, please.
Please don't fall asleep and start snoring.
I won't.
Because the pilot will be like, what the hell's happening to our plane?
Do you have an engine failure?
Oh,
no,
my gosh.
I won't fall asleep and start snoring because I know Hal Gill will mess with me.
Yeah. Good. Thank you, Hal. Yeah. I like this for doing that. I told you, when we first time we had shared a room in Miami, I threw two water bottles, a remote, a hat, and something else, like a phone charger. And they're all, like, on the floor next to your bed. I mean, I don't know. God bless your mom and dad, man. I just I don't know how they ever woke you up.
I think, you know, I could sleep through a tornado.
Gosh.
I mean, it was something.
Oh,
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get to more of these answers coming up next. Aisle seat, window seat. That is our question of the day. Plus, we'll probably talk some sports at some point.
Well, Chase, there's something that came out yesterday in New Orleans where Roger Goodell and NFLPA are butting heads, and this could be something massive going forward.
I did see that. We will get to that coming up next here on Chase and Big Joe, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game, here on this Thursday. We're at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. And our show is presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We'll get back to our question of the day here in just a few minutes. But it seems that Roger Goodell and the NFLPA are ready to battle once again. And we knew this was coming.
Yeah.
The 18th game.
Yep.
Is, you know, when they added the 17th game, and basically they just kind of gave in, you knew the 18th game was going to be around the pike. But now the NFL Players Association Executive Director Loyal Hal Jr. is pushing back. Roger Goodell said the other day that the safety data doesn't discourage expanding the regular season. And Hal says, quote, frankly, we're not sure how he's reaching that conclusion based on the data we've been given access to. He said on Wednesday, no one wants to play an 18th game. No one. 17 games is already, for many of the guys, too long. 17 games is also so lengthy that you're still dealing with injuries going into next season. So there's a variety of issues that hang off of the length of the season before any formal negotiations.
Amen. I love it. I mean, look, when he says no one wants the 18th game, then he adds no one.
Yep.
And, you know, I haven't heard anybody who's on board for that.
I mean, look, I think – if you're just not thinking about it first glance as a fan, you go, yeah, I could do another game. Like, that'd be cool. But then if you really do a deep dive and think about it, the quality of the product is already pretty bad.
Yes.
Like, college football is much more entertaining than the NFL. But we still watch.
Right.
Because it's like it's the NFL. So you're going to watch. People are going to watch this weekend. I don't think this is going to be a great game. It might be. But it's – it's on, so we're going to watch it. My thing is, when Goodell, you were making a comment during the break of, like, you know, Goodell saying concussions are down and all this stuff. All Goodell is a puppet for the owners.
Oh, that's it.
You know, everybody blames him for everything, but at the end of the day, he's speaking for the owners.
Yeah, that's it.
And really, he's speaking for probably a handful of owners that run the league. You know, the Jerry Joneses, the Robert Krafts, you know, I mean, the Rooneys obviously have some pull. But
so let me ask you this. Who's the NFL compete with?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah.
So what are they trying to do? 18th game. Are you trying to – I don't get it. And it's like, well, we're cutting it to two preseason games. I'm telling you, you look at this now. If a team is rolling and they're like 12-3 and you got two games left, you've got a playoff spot, I'd bench my star players. Yeah. I'd bench them.
Well,
you're tired, man.
Right. I mean, here's what's going to have to happen in my mind for them to even do that. Like, and really they should have done this with 17. But to get to 18, what they're going to have to do is, one, add an extra off week. Every team gets two off weeks, which I'm totally fine with. I got no issue with that. And you're going to have to expand the rosters. Not the practice squad, but the actual roster.
Right.
Like, I think if I'm the PA, I'm pushing go from 53 to 60 because then you're guaranteeing seven guys per team more jobs.
Easily.
Now,
easily 60.
The talent's not there. I mean, you're going to have guys. You have, and you already have it. You have guys in the NFL that probably don't deserve to be in the NFL, but you got to fill the roster.
You're right.
I mean, it kind of is what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, that to me is the carrot on the stick that you could get this done, because it's going to happen. Like, Charles Robinson was on Robbie and Rexford this morning talking about, like, it's going to happen, and we all know it's going to happen. But if you're the PA, you know, you need to stand up to the league and say, listen, we want the extra off week. You know, we want more money. I think there's, you know, like, you're adding an extra game, so that needs to change how that plays out, and the rosters need to be expanded.
There's just – I don't – look, they're going to say, we're going to drop the preseason game, make two preseason games, 18 regular season games.
Just get rid of the preseason. Like, the preseason doesn't matter. I know, like
– Well, I think you need to have it.
Yeah, I
think
mean, you need it to might matter to guys at the bottom of the roster.
So now with two, you got one at home, one at away. So you still get your money.
Yep.
It's all about the money, man. That's all it is. But to say that the safety data is telling you, well, it's safe now. Well, you know, guys are tackling different. They're getting fined when they do targeting. I mean, it's all part of the deal there. But I'm telling you, man, it's warfare. I mean, it is. Football is a violent, violent game. I've told you this. Kissing your girlfriend's a contact sport. Football is a violent sport. And you talk about safety, you'll make it. But you're adding a whole other game. And if you don't expand the roster, you got guys playing more. It's completely asinine.
Yeah.
They keep trying to change things, you know. And when we grew up, the Super Bowl was like the first week or second week into January. Now they've expanded into February. Now they're probably pushing back even longer than that. It's just they're trying to ruin things. And what do we do? What do we talk about? What do we not talk about? On the field play.
Yeah, no.
We're talking about this other garbage outside.
Well, because I can tell you something else that's going to happen too. Another team's going to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, oh yeah.
There's three wild cards now. There's going to be – they're either going to redo the divisions or there's going to be four. Because, I mean, they're going to expand, because that's the other thing. Like, I think they're going to have 34 teams here in a few years.
Where do they go? London's one. I'm telling you.
Probably.
And where's the other one?
Mexico City. Gosh. Or maybe Canada. I mean, see, that's the thing. Like, I always thought they'd probably put a team in Toronto.
Can't do it.
But the Bills, you know.
Can't do Vancouver.
Washington.
Seattle. It's right there.
Montreal.
Maybe.
Do people care in Montreal?
Probably not.
Yeah, they lost baseball.
They did lose baseball. Off a team in 94 that would have won the World Series if there wasn't a strike. I don't know, man. This manifest destiny that Roger Goodell has, I don't get it, man. I just don't understand. Like, I'm reading right now, the Rams were playing the first game in Australia in 2026.
Yeah.
What are we trying to do here, man? I just don't get it.
I don't mind doing a game or two, you know, in London or Germany or something like that. I mean, because there's a thirst for it, apparently.
Right.
But now it's like there's this whole month that you got games that are overseas. And so, you know, I know the it kind of it raises another question. Should they bring back some form of NFL Europe as a development league, and would the product be better? Because then you have actual, you know, NFL people that are
good,
that are doing, you know, doing
people
this.
Loved. I know guys who played in the league over there in Europe, and they loved it.
Tim Hasselbeck.
They loved it. They had no problem being over there. But again, I, you know, do you put it here? Sprint? Do you like the UFL or XFL, whatever it is? Do you make that your farm league?
Yeah.
But then you got guys playing all year long, man. I mean, there is, I don't know. There's no, and here's the problem. There's no right answer because we're debating it all the time.
There's no, no.
I just, but, it just
but
drives
it,
me crazy.
At the end of the day, like, it may not be next year, but in 2026, they're playing 18 games, right?
I don't know.
I think so.
I hope not.
I think so.
Product's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's going to continue to water down, but they're going to do it.
Maybe eight teams are good.
Because here's what's driving this. It's all letters. CBS, NBC, Fox, ABC, ESPN, Netflix now. Like, you know, there's other entities, Amazon.
Right.
They're going to pay for it.
What have I told you that? What's the downfall of man throughout history?
Money.
Greed.
Greed, yeah.
Everything. Just stop with it, man. It's good as it is. It's great right now, but they'll find a way to screw it up. They always do.
Here's what's funny. You said it, and Mike in Lebanon said it. I can see teams picking a away game that doesn't matter and sitting their starters. The league will stop that.
How?
They'll just say, no, you're not. You can't do that.
I can do whatever my team. I can do whatever I want. Yeah. I'm going to find you. Okay.
Yeah, well.
But I'm not playing. If I'm 12-3 and I'm Patrick Mahomes and the Raiders are 9-6, right. I'm not playing you.
Justin and Greenbrier, guys, the season is too long as it is. All they're doing is watering down the product. I agree with you, Justin. But again, like, are you not going to watch? You want to change something, quit watching the NFL.
I'm not watching a team that's benching their quarterback and they're 12-3 playing. That's why I've told you. Major League Baseball should end at Labor Day.
I agree.
I'm not watching the Cardinals take on the Marlins when both teams are 38 games out of first place.
Yeah.
Stupid. End it on Labor Day.
Look, it's
– God, September baseball is so awful.
NASCAR
God.
Should end at Labor Day. I mean, like, there's a ton of – like, you could have it where there's always a sport going on and, like, some overlap is okay. But when you get into fall, like, that's football. Just get out of the way.
So – the NASCAR, February, March, April, May, June, July, August.
September.
8 months.
October.
I mean, if you stop at Labor Day.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Great idea. The whole thing is.
They're off for a month, essentially.
Quick story. A friend of mine wanted to open a bar, a restaurant, okay?
Yeah.
Massive building. And he bought it, right? So you get 300 people in there, a building that holds 800 people. You drive by, it's empty,
yeah.
Right? So what does he do? He buys another restaurant. Place only holds 225 people. Now you have 100 people in line that's getting in.
Right.
And you're like, God, I want to be part of that.
Perception is reality.
Yeah. So if you keep moving this stuff, I'm like, I don't want to do that. I'm not excited by that. And so I'm not a businessman, but I'm not stupid per se. And I just don't think this is a good thing. But again, they're not going to listen to us. And they'll have 18 games and they'll bitch why people are getting hurt.
It's funny. That there's such a mixed reaction to this. 615-737-1025. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. At Kitchen Notes today, Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Over the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll continue this discussion and get back to our question of the day as well. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Yeah, I mean, it's 100% happening. And, like, I sat in the NFLPA's meeting yesterday and listened to the whole, you know, Lloyd Howell go through the whole song and dance of, you know, nobody wants to play in 18th. Everybody, you know, every player I talked to, nobody wants to play. You know, Jalen Reeves Mavens, the president of the NFLPA, I mean, they're all saying the same thing. And I'm like, okay, there's a difference between nobody wants to play it and we absolutely are not going to play it. And that's just where this is. The funny thing is when they say nobody wants to play it, then Lloyd Howell will go through 14 bullet points of that. It's his negotiating list. it's like, here are all the things we need to talk about. And then after these 15 things, then we get to revenue share. I'm like, okay, well, that's what you got 5 years and until the next CBA. And I think Roger would like to get it on the rails earlier than that and see if maybe they could expand the season maybe by 2027.
That was Charles Robinson earlier this morning on Robbie and Rex Road from Yahoo Sports. Back here on Chasing Big Joe at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Talking about expansion of the season for the NFL. 17 to 18 games. We saw them go to 17 a few years ago, and now the talk is 18 games. The PA is saying that no one wants to play 18 games, and Goodell's saying, oh, safety's fine. Just rub some dirt on it. Everything's good. everybody will be fine. I didn't know that Jalen Reeves-Maybin is the president, the player president of the Players Association.
Let's have a little respect on that guy's name, huh?
Yeah, so that's an interesting one. But, look, I think this is going to happen, and we can all not like it, but it's going to happen.
But don't the players get a vote on it?
They do, but my thing is they need to get something out of it. The owners want this, then the players need to get something out of it too. You know, Tommy says NFL should leave it alone. Mid-February, I'm watching the Napa 9, Chase Elliott. If Super Bowl interferes with the 500, it's an easy choice if Titans aren't in the Super Bowl. But here's the thing. The Daytona 500 is, you know, President's Day weekend.
Right.
And that's historically, you know, where it's been for a long time. If they add the 18th game, especially if they're adding an extra bye week, that's 2 weeks to the schedule. I mean, the Super Bowl is going to be around then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've heard people say, well, run the 500 on Saturday. No, it's Sunday. Honestly, the Super Bowl should be Saturday night, I think. But, you know, Super Bowl Sunday is – there's pageantry and everything that goes into it. It takes up the whole day. The pregame show is 8 hours long.
Mm-hmm. Fine. That's good.
You know, so.
I had no problem with Super Bowl Sunday. I think it's great. I just think, again, this is all going to be – it's a watered-down product for the most part, as I just – tweeted out. I mean, there's about eight good teams in the NFL. The rest are blah that go on. And so they're going to move it. But do you move the season back? I mean, and look, what they're going to do to really chafe me is NFL is going to put games on Friday night during the regular season. That's going to just, they're going to stay away from Saturday because that's college football during the season. But they're going to start doing Friday night because they don't care. And that's really sad. Really, really sad.
Well, they already took Thursday. Thursday used to be college football too, and they took that away.
Yep, they sure did.
So,
I don't get it. I mean, it's popular right now. It's doing great, and they just want to keep adding. It's like a consultant when I worked in TV. This is going great. Oh, let's do this now that we're doing this. Let's do that. And it ruined everything. They just know how to ruin things. And but football's so popular and people watch. Yeah, I get all that stuff. But, man, this is the outside stuff now creeping in. Just makes me not want to watch.
Yeah. I hear you. I do. But I think there's a lot of people that kind of feel that way. But Wes in Clarksville asks, are they not eliminated in preseason game? It's pointless to have three. Yeah, I mean, they would go down to two. So I guess, yeah, you're right. But, like, I still think you need to add the extra bye week. 3337 says, I don't care either way, but it sure would have been miserable around here this year for an 18th game.
Right.
We would have let Eddie and TSU play in place of the Titans.
Right. It's too much, man.
Let's see. Justin and Greenbrier. I didn't watch most of this season because the Titans were trash. They aren't grading high. Really the only team I watch. I will watch the game Sunday, but I only watch two playoff games. I just don't care about it if my team isn't in it. I hear you, and I know that you're not the only one that thinks that way, but I do think that's the minority. I mean, I just think there are people that it's like they live and breathe football and they live and breathe the NFL and they're going to watch whatever game is on. And, I mean, I'm kind of that way. Like, especially if it's prime time, like Sundays, you know, and it kind of works out most of the time. The Titans will play at noon. The Cowboys a lot of times play the 3:30 game. And I'll watch them and then I'll watch the Sunday night game.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine with all that. But I know some people, like, you'll watch the Super Bowl. People saying, I'm not watching. You'll watch the Super Bowl. So stop saying all that nonsense that goes on with that. But again, I mean, you just stretch it out. That's probably like college football back in the day, right? It was September to late November. It came fast. We loved it. We relished every second of it. And now it's just spread out all the way to late January, and it's just like, oh, my goodness. And it kind of takes away from certain things that you like.
Okay, so I obviously wasn't around, but it's felt like in people that were that 14 games was almost too few. 18 is going to be too many. Was 16 just the perfect? Like,
I thought 16 was great. To me, 14 was fine.
Yeah.
But that was a long time ago. And then they went to 16. They better enjoy that. And then, you know, we know the preseason is terrible, and we get all that. And so it was a thing. Like, I had the 4 preseason, the 16 games, and the 20, and with the open week, it's 21 weeks of football that's going on. And now it's just like all time, and it's just so convoluted, and it's so chaotic, and everything goes on with it. And again, we're not talking about what's happening on the field.
No.
It just drives me crazy, all that. But again, that's the whole thing that we had the argument about the asterisk, right? Mm-hmm. And I do think there needs to be an asterisk when you talk about 14, 16, 17, and 18. There does. O.J. Simpson's 2,003 yards in 1973 in 14 games, to me, is far greater than Eric Dickerson's 2104 in 1984 in 16 games.
Yeah. Well,
that's just me, and that's
sure.
the thing.
I mean, I think there's an argument for that. We'll continue this discussion real quick. Scott wants to weigh in on our question of the day. Aisle seat or window seat? Scott, what say you?
Window seat's easy. Nobody's going to be bumping into you on the aisle. Most of the flights I've taken have been about 20 to 23 hours overseas.
Good Lord.
You're in the aisle, you're getting bumped by the carts, you're getting bumped by people going to the bathroom, people that do not bathe walking by you. If you're at the window, you can put your head on the side and just relax.
That's a good point.
So when the cart hits you, do you cuss? Do you yell? Or are you like, oh, God?
I just look at them and ask for something else.
I take a cookie.
So that's the secret.
You're
okay.
The best seat. The best seat is always the exit row. Because you get more leg room, more space, nobody's bothering you at all, and nobody ever wants to take that seat.
But don't they come by and ask you questions in an emergency? Are you willing to help?
Yeah.
Do you have to give a verbal yes or no? They just tell them, yeah, I'm here. Okay, I'll open the door if you need me to. And then they go on about your day, and you got your legs sprawl out. You don't got somebody leaning their chair back right into your lap.
Yep. Scott, what do you do to travel so much? I was asking.
At the time, I was an overseas contractor, so I would fly over to Kuwait or Afghanistan to work on military bases. And then two of the other flights were with the military on deployment. And the best plane you'll ever want to never be on is the C-130 doing combat takeoffs and landing.
Why?
Wow.
Combat takeoff, you go straight to elevation within 30 minutes. So it's a straight steep climb, not a gradual.
I've done that before.
Ugh.
It's with the NSC-130. It was with the Blue Angels. They have Fat Albert there.
Yeah.
And I did that one time. It was, whoa.
Did you throw up?
Almost. But no,
yeah.
I did not. Thanks for the call, Scott. Appreciate it.
Y'all take care.
WWE Monday Night Raw coming to Nashville this Monday at Bridgestone Arena. One of the superstars that will be in action is the Women's Intercontinental Champion, Lyra Valkyria. She will join us coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. WWE Monday Night Raw will be at Bridgestone Arena this Monday, live on Netflix. Lyra Valkyria, the Women's Intercontinental Champion, will be in action in a Elimination Chamber qualifying match against Bayley. She joins us now on the program. Lyra, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I am great. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Excited to see you in action Monday night. I got to start with, you know, the Netflix era, which we saw debut, you know, several weeks ago now. I've really enjoyed it. I don't know if much has changed for you all as superstars, but what's it been like to this point?
It's been absolutely insane. Everyone has been so excited. Raw is on Netflix. Like, that is just insane, you know, and this Monday coming to the whole world live from Netflix, live from Nashville. We're all really, really excited to head back there. I've got a massive qualifying match for the Elimination Chamber, taking on, you know, WWE's Grand Slam champion, one of the most decorated women in the WWE, Bayley. We've got another Elimination Chamber qualifying match. We've got Logan Paul versus Rey Mysterio. You know, I think this is a massive, massive show. And, you know, to kick off the road to Elimination Chamber, which is the road to WrestleMania. I hope Nashville is as excited as I am.
We are. That is for sure. You are the Women's Intercontinental Champion. You defeated Dakota Kai for that title and became the first Women's Intercontinental Champion. How special is it to be the first woman to hold that title?
It's so, so special. I couldn't have imagined doing this so quickly in my career. No matter what happens now, I will only always be the first ever. That's my little piece of history in the WWE that I have carved out. And I'm on a mission now to do that title justice and bring everyone the best matches and the best of me that I possibly can.
Lyra, I got a question for you. We have hard-hitting questions on this show, so buckle in. When you fly, aisle seat or window seat?
Aisle seat, 100% of the time. Can't do a window.
Why is that?
Just the freedom to move around. You know, it's so much more comfortable. If you get the odd elbow from the car every now and then, it's not too bad.
That's a great answer. I'm always fascinated by women who get into professional wrestling. What was the genesis for you to become a professional wrestler?
I got into it from my brother watching it, and then I saw Becky Lynch debut in NXT, and I just had to figure out how an Irish girl ended up over here. Like, she couldn't have just spawned in the US, you know? I knew she had to learn it from somewhere. Oh, I got into looking up training schools, figured out that Finn Balor, another legend from Ireland, had started a school 2 hours from me, and it all went from there.
I think, I'm telling you, your story is so beautiful, Lyra, because a lot of people want to do things in life, but they don't get off their ass, and you did this. You're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it happen. So I applaud you for doing this, because so many people are stuck in neutral. And you wanted to do this, and that's a great story that you have, Lyra.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Lyra Valkyria is joining us here on the program. WWE Raw coming to Nashville Monday night at Bridgestone Arena. You know, you mentioned Becky Lynch, but, I mean, there's now, you know, kind of become a long lineage of Irish wrestlers. Sheamus, who we claim, he lives here in Nashville, is obviously one of them. Was there anyone in particular other than Becky that you kind of looked up to when you got into this?
Yeah, Becky and Balor had long since left. We're already, you know, becoming superstars over here. JD McDonagh, he's another big superstar to come from Ireland, and he was actually still kind of performing around Europe and Ireland, and like was around a lot. So I got to see his mentality, his the work he would put in, and he's always been a big help to me as well.
So you've been on the main roster for, I guess, almost a year now. You know, you were NXT champion. Now you're the Intercontinental champion. What has this journey been like? Because you've accomplished a lot in a short amount of time.
Yeah, it hasn't even been a year. I got drafted to Monday Night Raw in May. That was a huge, huge shock for me because I didn't spend that long in NXT. So that was insane. And I feel like everything since then has just been trying to keep up. Like, I was launched straight into the fires with the a women's tournament, the Queen of the Ring. Went all the way to Saudi Arabia in my first month on Monday Night Raw. And, you know, it just feels like the platform keeps getting bigger. The opportunities keep getting bigger. And I just got to be prepared to handle it and just give my best every single time.
Women's Intercontinental Champion Lyra Valkyria joining us here on Chasing Big Joe.
First of all, Lyra, you have the same birthday as my granddaughter does, so I already love you. So that's so thank you. That's great for that. When you first started doing this, when did you know that this is it? Like, this is what you want to do? Was it a certain moment? Was it a certain crowd reaction? Was it 50,000 people screaming your name? Can you go back to one moment where, like, oh, my gosh, this is it?
I can, actually, and it's weird you ask that question, and it's going to sound very cheesy, but genuinely, day one of training, I had no idea what to expect from a training session. I had no idea, like, what happens and in the ins and outs of behind the scenes of wrestling, how it comes together, but I tried something one day, you know, like, feeling like if it didn't work out, if I made a massive fool of myself, I'd walk away and never try it again. But that one day of training, especially when it came around at a time where I was a bit lost in school, didn't know what I wanted to do after school, didn't know what I wanted to do with my life at all. But that one training session that I had, it really did make me go, this is it. This is what I want to do. No matter how it ends up, good or bad, this is it, and I'm sticking with this.
Oh, I love it. What's your advice to the other Lyras out there who are 16, 17, 18 years old who want to do this and everybody's telling them, no, 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 no? What do you tell them?
My advice is, I think we're in an era where it's really cool to look unbothered and to not try. You don't want to look like you're trying too hard at anything. Whereas, like, that was the biggest difference from hanging around the cool kids in school for me to when I went to a wrestling training school. It was just a different vibe. People really respect and admire when you actually try something and put yourself out there and you're not afraid to be crap, to be bad at something, you know? So no one starts off getting everything straight away. No one does. I think people have to be prepared to just go out, make a fool of themselves, and do the same thing over and over and over again, no matter how long. Fall in love with the process and the journey, not what you hope to get on the other side of it. And just do your best, and I think you'll end up on top.
I love it. It's the whole mantra of don't quit. Don't ever quit. Don't ever quit what you're doing. Lyra, have you ever been to Nashville?
I have. We went to Nashville for a big PLE with NXT. I didn't get to do much exploring because I had such a big matchup, but I did walk past every bar on Broadway, and it was so exciting. I feel like every bar there was like live music to be seen. It's just like such a great energy there. Probably one of my favorite places that I've been to in the U.S. So I'm really, really excited for this Monday.
Well, I hope you get a little more time to kind of check things out, you know, where Bridgestone Arena is. It's awesome. We're really looking forward to Monday night. Good luck against Bailey. I know it's going to be a test, but we're all pushing for you, and we'll see you Monday night.
Thank you so much. To anyone listening, there are still a limited number of tickets left on Ticketmaster starting from $30. So I'll see you all Monday in Nashville.
Awesome. Thank you, Lyra.
Thank you, guys.
Lyra Valkyria, the Women's Intercontinental Champion, joining us here on the show. And, yes, there are limited tickets. You can go to the Bridgestone Arena box office, Ticketmaster.com. Get that. I'm going to be there. Really looking forward to it. The first time that Raw has been in Nashville since moving to Netflix. So this will be really cool to see. And Lyra will be in action against Bayley. Should be a fantastic match. And also Logan Paul against Rey Mysterio.
She's engaged to LJ Cleary. Mm-hmm. Could you beat him up?
Probably not.
I don't know.
Anybody with professional wrestling training,
he doesn't look, he's 5'10", 195 pounds.
My strategy would be like Homer when he became a boxer. Right. And I would just like let them tire themselves out.
I'll train you, man.
Take the beating.
We got 3 days to get in shape. Train you. Take this guy down.
There was one time that, you know, our buddy John Burton with News Channel 5 is a trained professional wrestler.
Yes.
And we were in a bar on Broadway, and he's like, I'm going to teach you how to tie up. And so we tied up, and all of a sudden security walks
in. Oh, my gosh.
He's like, you guys cool? I'm like, yeah, no, we're just messing around. So we know a few people that could probably give us some training.
Yeah. You got 3 days, Chase.
Yeah, I got this. We'll be
take him down.
Coming up next, Greg Wyshynski going to join us. From ESPN, we'll talk some hockey with him here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.